Good morning. Today is Tuesday, July the 5th, 191st day of the new year. Joining us this morning is noted CPA, Bill McCauley.
Hi, Brian.
His passion overwhelms.
Oh, it was a great day. All those fireworks yesterday. It's awesome.
Yeah. I still think that Fortuna's got it so much, so cool. 3rd of July. So everybody else is pumping it into the 4th, and they're competing against each other. They have theirs on the 3rd. Nobody's doing anything. They get the lion's share. And then they had Bear River kick in some bucks also, so they really had a pretty good event.
Yeah, very nice. Well,
yeah,
it's there's a lot of money that goes up in smoke, but if we stop and think about the reasons we celebrate our independence, it's pretty significant.
Yeah, no kidding. Our quote this morning has nothing to do with that. It has to do with fame. Comes from...
You got the accountant here, yeah, the quotes on fame.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, okay. It's, from Marshall Smith, quote, "If fame is to come only after death, I'm in no hurry for it."
I like it.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. So what's out there? New fiscal year for a lot of government types. Does that impact your biz much?
Not really. I think the biggest impact that we see that kind of occurs in June that has to do with a fiscal year issue is a change that was made a number of years ago during the California budget crisis. And if you'll recall, when California was in severe budget straits, so to speak, when Jerry Brown was, starting his second run as governor, there were a number of decisions that the state made to try to deal with their cash flow. And one of the things they did is they realized that people who pay quarterly taxes typically make 4 payments a year. So as an example, a lot of people go out and they have wage withholding. The wage withholding covers their tax liability, and they don't have to make quarterly estimated tax payments. Other people don't have wage income that they make or don't have a lot of it, they've got other sources of income that aren't covered by withholding. And so they make quarterly estimated tax payments. And those payments are typically due on April 15th, or it could be the 16th or 17th or 18th, depending on what day, where the weekend falls, et cetera. June 15th, September 15th, and then January 15th of the following year. And, you typically think of quarterly taxes, and the way it normally worked is you paid a quarter of what you estimated your tax liability to be. And, that kind of makes sense with a quarterly payment, a quarter of the payment. Well, California was looking at their revenues were trailing their expenses, and so what they said is, we're going to do that, but we're going to change how the quarterlies are paid in California. And they said, first quarter in April 15th, you'll pay 30%. The second quarter on June 15th, you'll pay 40%. The third quarter in September 15th, you'll pay zero. And the fourth quarter in January, some people pay in December, that will be 30%. So you're still paying 100% of this estimated tax liability, but you can see 70% of it is paid by June 15th. And what that means is 70% of a calendar year's tax is paid by June 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year for California. So it was robbing from Peter to pay Paul in terms of tax policy. All they were doing is saying, we're going to take next year's revenues and move them back 1 year. And that, it was kind of an interesting contrivance.
Well, there was a musician in the 90s who kind of summed that up. Hammer Time.
Indeed.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, in addition to some of the changes that are now normal, fiscal years don't tend to correspond with tax years for most folks. But I would think, and I know that's a rare concept, but I would think that the electeds coming into a new budget year would be more sensitive to the budget situation that their jurisdiction has and make adjustments at this time of the year rather than at the end of the calendar year, because it would be impacting a fiscal year rather than the tax-paying cycle. Does that make any sense, or is it going to be the end of the calendar year again this year before we start seeing some of those last-minute adjustments?
Well, that's a really good question, because it's a political year. And sometimes what we consider to be, you know, the normal mode of operations gets a little distorted during an election year with all the other dust that's up by the process. So from the standpoint that will there be year-end tax law, we don't even know whether there are. A lot of the things that we've been waiting for each year under what we would say is we extender legislation. We've talked about this for years, where we're looking for extenders that would extend provisions of tax law that have been in place for a number of years, but for whatever reason, they've hit their sunset. And for whatever reason, either the administration or Congress hasn't seen fit to come to some negotiated settlement about how they're going to deal with it. And inevitably, those things seem to run up against the end of the year before anything gets done, where there actually is the pressure that something has to be done or it's going to be a problem. And so we don't, you know, this year there's probably, they've probably gotten more things converted to permanent legislation than we've seen. And so the extenders, you're still going to see some items that are going to need to be addressed with extenders, but the list is a little shorter than it used to be and a little more esoteric. I think some of the things that affect broader numbers of taxpayers have actually been made permanent. I'll give you an example. We used to be every year waiting for what the alternative minimum tax exclusion amount was, and we called it the AMT patch. And every year we'd say, "What, you know, are they going to patch the AMT? When are they going to do it?" And you know, we it makes it very difficult when you're sitting trying to make projection calculations for a client and help them do tax planning, that you don't know what the tax law is going to be for the year that we've already, you know, we're already 11 and a half months through. So I guess to make a short story long, the point is, I don't know what we're going to see. I'm sure we'll see some legislation. I think that, you know, that probably we're probably less likely to see something really significant because it's a political year. I don't think there's at this point, there's no major issues that are sitting out there that, you know, people are clamoring for. This is going to have to get dealt with. And not only that, I don't think anybody's attention, you know, in the elected realm, is on this stuff. It's all on, you know, if I'm a House member, I'm running for re-election. If I'm a senator, you know, I might be running for re-election, or I might be concerned about which, you know, who's going to be in control of this thing when we get to the end, you know, to after the November elections. You know, we're going to have a new president after this, and there's going to be a lame duck element for both Congress and the president. We'll see some interesting things in that window. We always do. You know, some of those could relate to taxation. Some of it's going to relate to – I mean, it's always – I guess we always look at the pardons and all the things that happen.
There's a little sausage going on.
Yeah, there's stuff that happens, and it happens regardless of which party's in power. You know, it happens maybe there's different priorities that are underlying what occurs in that window, but, you know, we see the same things.
What about the state levels? I would think that the same would be compounded at the state because, in theory, they're closer to the ground. They're not there as long. They're not out of the state. They can't escape state news. You would think that there would be a little bit of increased sensitivity there. On Friday, Greg Sparks was in and was talking about the potential this fall of having another 0.5% sales tax put on top in Humboldt County, dedicated specifically for road maintenance. okay? But that the state also has big issues dealing with state sales tax.
Yeah.
When we talk about tax legislation, a lot of times we are talking about the you, the me, the business side, rather than the allocation and assignment of tax revenues that are gathered during the year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody who's out there that is a ombudsman or someone akin to that who's watching to see where the tax dollars go and if they're being allocated properly, and if not, serve the function of as a watchdog?
You know, I mean, in Humboldt County, you got to, you know, the counties all have grand juries, and so the grand juries can investigate things. The counties are all audited. Cities are generally most the cities are all audited.
Is the state?
The state, I don't believe, has an audit. If they have, they've never asked us to bid on it.
Probably need staff of thousands, I would
think. The federal government really isn't audited, but there are some oversight functions. I mean, you know, when you go with the federal level, you've got the GAO and the Congressional Budget Office that are doing some oversight. The GAO obviously does more than the Congressional Budget Office really does oversight on budgetary issues more than anything else. So depending on facts and circumstances, what it is, yeah, there are some levels of oversight on the expenditure. I mean, I think we all have to agree, and probably I think we would all agree that when you look at situations like spending, we come from our own set of biases, what we think is appropriate and what we think is really going to go. And, you know, filtering is a challenge.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by Redick and CDH Painting. Bill, as you consider some of the different challenges that are out there, fraud, I guess, it is one of them. You know, in the past, we've talked about information. You know, and somebody nailing your Social Security number, somebody getting access to your bank account, things of that nature. What about some of the different forms of attempted fraud or phishing? I know was one of them, yeah. Or you know, just confusing the easily confused. You know, we've had some interesting calls out here too, not even knowing that they're calling a radio station. So I know that it's an ongoing process. Are there any trends that are out there that you're seeing that folks are concerned about? People presenting themselves either as state or federal and tax and et cetera, et cetera?
It's a great question, Brian, and it's so timely, and doesn't matter how many times it gets said in the public arena, the fraudsters are out there finding new ways to trade on the trust of people or fears of people. So when we talk about, you know, probably most people who are listening to this have gotten a phone call from someone purporting to be the IRS stating that you're going to be, if you don't take immediate action, that you're going to be sued. And this is a number you can call. I've got one on my cell phone. I've kept the recording because I think it's kind of funny. You know, and it's interesting, on my cell phone, I can see that the phone call came from Washington, D.C. Now, first of all, I know enough about the IRS to know I would never get a call, if I got a call, and you're not going to get a call, from Washington, D.C. I would get it from Ogden, Utah, or I would get it from Fresno.
Yeah, where
I would get
where
it from
an
Internal
money.
Revenue Service Center, not from Washington, D.C. So, you know, for somebody who has some knowledge of how the IRS operates,
it's ridiculously stupid. That been said, they probably didn't come from Washington, D.C., but they want it to say Washington, D.C. on people's cell phone because they think that's where the IRS is. So, there's a lot of problems. So, first of all, if you get a phone call and it's an initial contact regarding anything from taxation, you get a phone call or an email, and somebody purporting to be the IRS, delete it, ignore it, do not respond to it. It is bogus.
You can document it and share it?
It doesn't matter. There's so much of it now.
Oh, so it's not even worth reporting.
I don't think so. And, okay. and this is my own personal opinion. You may find other people who have a different opinion, but I think it's so pervasive right now that you could try to forward that information to the IRS, and they're overwhelmed with it because it's so pervasive. And it's such an insidious approach. So,
and is it tough? It must be tough to source also. So yeah. Like giving it to EPD or Fortuna or Arcade,
and what we're seeing is these fraudsters who are getting people on the phone. They're asking for payment with iTunes gift cards, and I'm not kidding you, or prepaid debit cards. People, we all need to think this through. The IRS does not accept payments on iTunes cards. They do not want a prepaid debit card. So
Amazon.
Exactly. So the problem is that what happens is you get this phone call, and immediately we all have this internal thing going on where we have this fear and we clutch up. And our brain portion, probably the part of our frontal lobe, I'm not a scientist. I don't know anything about it. But I'm conjecturing, but I think a part of our brain shuts down. I'll talk to you in a minute about another scheme that's similar. That is pervasive, and there have been people who've been taken on it, and so it gets we react to the IRS, and it takes us out of who we are and how we normally function, and then we don't think through everything we're being asked because we don't want that consequence. We're afraid of the it's as a nation in general, people are afraid of the IRS.
And, well, the heat of the moment. I think if most of us kind of breathed a little bit. Took 4 or 5 minutes, tried to call them back.
Right.
Things kind of clarify.
Yeah. And so my point is this, and please, please, please pay attention to this point. If you listen to nothing else I say, if you get a phone call from the IRS or you get an email from the IRS, just delete it. You do not have to worry about there being any consequence while you fail to respond to them. The first contact you will get from the IRS is nearly always going to be in the form of correspondence, in a letter. So if it didn't come in a letter that started this correspondence, then it's the second thing is, if you're not sure, call me. But I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm telling you now. It's a fraud. And don't. It's so insidious and it's so aggravating that it goes on, and it's now manifesting itself in other ways. So we're seeing we get the phone calls, we get the emails. Now you get fraudsters who are out trying. I mean, we've been dealing with all the frauds, all the stolen. We've got hackers who are stealing identity information and using that to create to perpetuate different types of frauds associated with that identity that they've now co-opted. And so we've got that issue. We've got people who are calling and saying, you've won a sweepstakes. Okay, so you get a phone call and it's, you've won the Irish sweepstakes and you're going to win $125,000. Now, ignoring the fact of whether you entered or not, I've had people get drawn into this.
And we use that as a tease. Kind of like you got a phone call, and now you want to hear more. Hopefully you do. When we come back, KINS, News and Information. I know, it was a little circuitous, but I got there. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, you were talking about kind of fraud phase two.
Yeah.
Now, we've got the hackers. We've got you've won this, you know, sweepstakes, your long-lost Saudi Arabian prince, et cetera, et cetera. Those have kind of now become out of vogue. What is replacing them?
Well, it's replacing things like the one that I've known and I know of. I know personally my parents got phone calls purporting to be, I have two sons, they got at different times a phone call purporting one of my sons was in, they knew my son's name, they had identified who my son was and the relation to my parents.
So they went to Ancestry.com.
Somewhere they got
like
that information.
That out.
They
yeah,
got
okay.
this information. And then they called and said, and I don't remember, one of them was that one of my grandsons was in jail, or one of their grandsons was in jail in Mexico. And they put this voice on the phone, you know, we're going to let you talk to him. And they put this voice on the phone, Grandma, you need to help me, da 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 da, you know. And then they cut it off. And they draw people in. And the idea being, in the first case, my mother got off the phone and called the brother. He called my other son and said, is your brother in Mexico? No,
you know,
he's
we've
here.
Used their names you know, on air. Yeah. It's no big deal.
Yeah, but my point is, okay, yeah. And I don't remember if it was Neil or Ross. But
just to double check and say. And
yeah, there, I just opened myself up for more of this kind of fraud. Because
So grandma used her mind.
Yeah, she did.
And figured it out real
but,
quick.
But she
yeah.
got drunk. She felt the pull. She felt the pull. And it happened a second time with the other one, and I don't remember exactly. So both they've tried it with both kids. I know of another situation. We it was in the papers where someone got drawn in on this kind of an arrangement, and they lost funds because they bought in. Even though, if you stop and think about it, the request was anyway. There were things in there that didn't make sense.
And it's kind of like follow your intuition. If it doesn't make
but
sense,
it's hard because that emotional
yeah,
because
you got the emotional override
is
yeah.
overriding how our clear thinking. So. My point is, don't get drawn in to something that's that emergent. You're going to have to step back, think about it, and then call somebody who you think has a cool head and talk to them about it. Because, and maybe they're going to say, hey, you know
notice
what?
Your mom didn't call you. She
no,
called his brother.
She called his brother. Well,
perfect.
One of them, she called the son. She called the one and said, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm at, you know, I'm going to school. You know, and
class, Grandma.
And the other one, anyway, I don't remember yeah. the exact details of them. But the point being, it's insidious. And it's preying on people's best instincts.
And that's probably the thing that's the most issue-based for a lot of us, is that there are no boundaries on this.
No.
There's no decorum. There's no standard operating rules. There's no chivalry. There's not. It's game on.
So this is not politically correct, but I think we should have corporal punishment for these people. I think it's so insidious. You know, it's just, you think about somebody whose best instincts were to try to protect their family, and slime balls are out there trying to rip them off, and they think if you're stupid enough to fall for it, you deserve to be taken. That's the mindset of a fraudster.
Now, what is the consumer protection folks? Are they into this, or do they cover this, or is this kind of defined as outside their purview?
I don't think so. I don't think there's, you know, it's. I'm not sure anybody's really dealing with this very effectively. So it's really a problem, and as a society, we shouldn't tolerate it. And I don't know how you get the message across to these people that are doing it, but I sure wish they'd use their time productively in something that would advance all of us instead of trying to rip people off who only care for other people.
By the way, you don't have to worry about being PC. At least not here. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, you bet.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love. See you then.